in the downtown plan process, and there's nothing worse than doing a plan, spending the money, getting people to come out, investing all that, and then it sits on a shelf. So we're really determined to make sure it goes to the next step. So what are the next steps? They are to get the riverfront going, and by that we mean, and I'll be showing those in the slides, by that we mean having a fully accessible riverfront with mixed uses along it, keeping the views, keeping the beauty, and allowing people to interact at the maximum level for multiple types of recreation, entertainment use. So that's one. Two is to fix up our infrastructure. As you know, cities have a lot of disinvestment, abandonment, and demolition over the past few decades. The cities are back in now. People are realizing their value. America is unusual in the sense that we're one of the only countries that's abandoned our cities. So now we're finally realizing that and coming back and seeing that they were really the smart way to live and to grow. So you've heard a lot about Obama wanting to invest in infrastructure throughout the country. If at the end of the day, all we've done is widen the Lothian Turnpike, we've really failed. And so what we really need to do is fix the broken infrastructure we have in our downtown. There are a lot of shovel-ready potholes to be filled in the city of Richmond, sidewalks to be repaired, riverfront promenade that would bring jobs, that is infrastructure. So we can't just think about highways, and we've got to make this more than a VDOT thing. We've got to make this a community thing. So contact your senators, contact your congressmen, women, your state delegates, senators, the governor, tell them what you want for your community. The CNU, Congress for New Urbanism, has a newsletter out about what they're doing at the national level to make that happen. So this was, for those of you who weren't involved in the plan, we started in 2007, and the boundaries went over for the first time to include the Monroe Park campus of ECU, because that's an enormously essential component of downtown with 32,000 students. And for the first time, we crossed the river to include Manchester, to this part where we're here tonight. And so that the river is now the centerpiece of the downtown, which is always what it should have been. Go ahead. And foundation, so that when we get into these discussions, if you will, with our elected officials and whatnot on how to spend money, whether we should spend money, how to make difficult decisions about rezoning, should we buy land for parks, you go back to these foundations that everybody agreed on. Traditional transportation options. That's pretty hard not to agree with. The riverfront is centerpiece, traditional urban architecture, mixed-use development, green architecture and planning, historic stewardship, and affordable housing. So on the traditional transportation, the main thing is that the pedestrian is number one, not the car. You accommodate the car, but if the pedestrian doesn't feel welcome, then they're not going to walk around and they are going to get in their car. We'll show you some examples. Got to have public transit if we're going to become a major international city, which I think we can become. We've got to have public transit that's more than just the bus system. Shared parking so that we don't lose buildings and land parking, as Sheila said, and getting back to two-way traffic. Go ahead. So as you can see here, we have a great traditional historic grid to work with. We were given this wonderful gift by past planners. It's so effective and so efficient. Set up for walking and traditional neighborhood development. Go ahead. But as you can see here, the city was designed to be two-way throughout the grid, and then it went one-way in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s because of the automobile taking over and needing to be safe and efficient. But at the same time, it cost the pedestrian. So now cars go faster, people get disoriented, they get confused, and we start to lose tourists and other people who might stay around. If you look at suburban areas, they never have one-way streets because retailers won't tolerate it and other developers won't. Retail goes down when you have one-way streets, tourism goes down and all that. Every red street is one-way that we want to change back to two-way. Go ahead. And it also affects views. So in this slide, if you want to get down to the river by car, you couldn't do it because of the one-way system. So then you got to go around the block and you get lost and confused. Go ahead. Parking, as we know, we've lost a lot of our great architecture and history to accommodate basically parking storage. And there are many other alternatives. Underground, obviously, that's ideal, although we hear a lot from developers that it's too expensive. In our view, we should be investing now because one day the air light above will be the most valuable thing to be putting people, not cars. And so we need to think smart, but if it is gonna go above ground, here's an example in Stanton, where you come into the city, it's one of the first things you see, kinda like the train station gateway. Come in, park, get out of your car as soon as possible, and guess what, there's a visitor center right there and some shops and restaurants, so it's ideal. And that's what we need to be thinking about then. Trolley, this is actually Salt Lake City, but it reminds me of Broad Street, and it's what we used to have. We are looking at what's called BRT, Bus Rapid Transit. Our local GRTC is now applying for federal funds to get the first phase of that. What they believe is that if they can show the ridership goes up with that, then we can follow with the trolley or light rail. This would go from Willow Lawn, all the way down Broad Street, and all the way to Rocket's Landing, and we'd like it to go across the river down Hull as well. The reason they got theirs is because they have the Olympics in Salt Lake City, so we're gonna be applying for the Olympics. short of that, we've got to get the federal money, and that's where you all come in. You've got to tell your senators that, now that we got Warner there, Mark Warner, who gets the whole urban thing being from Alexandria, and Webb, I think we really have a good chance of that. Go ahead. And of course, gateways are enormously important. If an investor or a future resident or a friend of yours comes to town and this is the first thing they see, what are they gonna think of your city? That we don't give a damn. I mean, look at the sidewalks. It's embarrassing. Look at the buildings. They're abandoned, neglected. So then the question is, what does the public sector need to do to help the private sector succeed? So we provide tax credits. We provide other financial incentives. We improve the infrastructure. We get the basics in good town planning, which is on-street parking, bury the utilities, put in the street trees. It's hot around here. If you want people to walk, you better have shade. Set up the zoning ordinances so they're developing the way you want them to do, and they don't have to get SUPs, special use permits, or rezonings, which can take 6 to 12 months, depending on the rezoning. And so then it could look like that, where you improve the sidewalks, put the street trees in, you got the on-street parking, close down the traffic, you got the trolley coming down so people have options, you've got the windows and doors right on the street, makes it safer, makes it more vibrant, makes it more inviting. Imagine if you had a friend who then came to visit you and this was the gateway. It would send a very different message, and it increases investment because people suddenly want to move here more, open a business here, come as a tourist, whatnot. Okay. River is centerpiece. When we started as a city, we're here because of the river. We're a river city. They picked it because of its location on the James and the falls, and they couldn't go any further. And then, of course, Jefferson picked the spot to put the Democracy Temple on the top so everybody can see it. So the riverfront had an enormous importance. But we've gotten away from it, mostly because of industry. It really became more like the 95 for commerce, if you will. But now that industry has left the river and has gone to other locations, we have an opportunity to make it the recreation and entertainment venue for our city. Go ahead. And as you can see in this photo, there's so much opportunity, particularly with this, which is Mayo Island. It's about a 14-acre island. It's owned by one family, the Shy family. We think they would be willing to sell. It's basically used as a parking lot right now. It used to have the Virginia Boat Club on it, which is like a 100-year-old boat club. They'd love to be back there. Imagine if we had a park there in the middle of Richmond connecting Manchester to the Central Business District, just a half mile from the capital of the Commonwealth. It would be an enormous symbol and a great asset to our city. Go ahead. We have this thing called the flood wall, which we haven't been able to test yet. I'd love to have a good flood, see if it really works. anyway, we can't think of it as a finished product, this Berlin Wall we have. Now that it's here, we've got to use it as an asset. It's the foundation of something greater. So what if we, go ahead, took that, and I mean, this is Shanghai in China, which is becoming a developing country. I mean, America has great means to be doing it if China can do it. So you can imagine this is like the flood wall. You put a promenade on top of it here. It steps down, and you have green space along the edge. So 99.9% of the time when there's not a flood, you can actually be using that space along the river. Go ahead. Paris, many of you have been there. This is a flood wall. So flood walls don't have to be ugly. You can build on top of them. We could be putting parking behind it, storage, whatnot. Go ahead. Then you can start to use it. Why should it be something that everybody has to stay 10 feet away from? Look at this this beautiful asset where people and birds hang out. I was recently in Peru, and this is the riverfront walk in Lima. It's a third world country where the average median income, or the median income is about $5,000. In America, really, we can't figure out how to build a riverfront park. This is a flood wall. So we can do it if they can. Go ahead. Here in Pittsburgh, I mean, city after city, this is happening. Go ahead. And but this is the way ours looks now. And despite that, people still go there. The water is so desirable. They're fishing here. It was like a festival day, and kids were down there, and parents. Go ahead. You know, we've left them with lovely riprap edges. Go ahead. And, I mean, it's not even safe to walk on the edge, but still they do it. And then here, people fish. This is actually in Caro's Landing. It's not very well kept. And this guy's on the other side where the old intermediate terminal used to be. So just to show you how much people desire to be near the water. And at the same time, there are beautiful places along the riverfront, but if you notice, it always says private property, no public access. Go ahead. Or here, private street, authorized vehicles only, right on your riverfront, which is your property. Go ahead. Private property, you need to check with the feds if you want to use that part of the river. And here, the city put up this nice sign, welcome to the riverfront. No picnicking, pets, or recreational activities. So what are you supposed to do? And yet, people still keep going to their riverfront. They cross bridges. They walk half a mile. This one, you park over by Dominion, you cross the bridge, and then you walk about another quarter, half mile. And the day I was there, it was packed. Mostly a lot of students, a lot of college students and families. See the families here and then the college kids out here. Again, just desiring that water. Go ahead. And we have so much opportunity with all the infrastructure, from the railroad to the highways. Next, why couldn't we then develop promenades and accessibility by using the existing infrastructure next? Like we did here. That's how you get to Bell's Island. I'm sure many of you have walked there. But I thought that was a really ingenious solution, to take the VDOT bridge and then put a pedestrian access under it. Next. And then here, why not just link that? It's only about 5 feet away. And then, of course, the access. And we've talked to Dominion about this. If one day they could relocate that, it's very valuable land right on the riverfront. You could have beautiful views, and they could still meet their infrastructure needs. Now, what if, I know the Echo Harbor site's been talked about a lot, but what if we work with them to trade some land? It's 5 acres. In my view, the city should be buying it. I took Mayor Riley up there, the mayor from Charleston, just to see what he saw. I took him up to Living Hill, and I showed him, and he said, oh my gosh, he just couldn't believe it. He said, there are so few cities in the world that have this view. And he said, what are they thinking of doing? And he just couldn't believe it. He said, that panorama is so special. And I could just see it in his body language. And I didn't want to be too critical, but he just... It's so obvious that we need to save this for public space, and we can work with developers to do that. So what if it went from this to that? This is the park in Charleston. Mayor Riley bought industrial land. You know, people said, why are you spending money this way, whatnot, but now it's like their Central Park. They can't imagine their city without it. It's just spectacular. Go ahead. Here's another example, this lovely chain link and a slab that we provided for our citizens. And I don't even know how they get there, actually, but fishers come down here all the time. But what if we did this instead? This is Battery Park City in New York City, and it was started about 20 years ago. You would have been standing in the water then. And they did infill, and now the real estate here is booming. And it's always packed like this. This is the people's park, and everybody has access to it. As Mayor Riley says, the public should have the best land, not the leftover land, but the best land. And then what it does is it really improves everything around it. We have great public spaces. It improves the real estate. It improves retail. It improves tourism. And the research we've done has shown that for every dollar you invest in good public spaces, you get $5 back. And given the economy right now, I'd say that's a pretty good return. I'm going to invest in riverfront. Go ahead. A this is all the opportunity we have for green space. So this is the Dominion property we're looking at, Brown's Island, all the way down here. Chapel Island, the city owns. This is the stormwater detention. So what we'd like to do is redevelop this. So on top of the stormwater detention, we could have tennis courts, whatnot. That continues down Echo Harbor all the way to the Enrico border. On this side, we have Encaro's Landing. We own this land. We could make that parkland. We own some of the land in here. The railroad has some of this. And so what we want, and then, of course, Mayo Island right in the middle. So what we want to do as the next step is bring back the design firm and detail this riverfront from west to east and on both sides of the river and show exactly where we want the promenade, where we want the big spaces for people, where we want the fields to throw frisbee, where we want the quiet spaces for people to read and people watch, where we want the playgrounds for kids, and then start to show how we would phase it and what it would cost, and figure out over the long term, over the next 10 years, 20 years, how we could develop a viable riverfront park from the Enrico border all the way up to Dominion. And we should be the generation that made that happen. It's been long overdue. Almost every other city has made it happen. And it's just ready and waiting. Go ahead. Urban architecture, pretty straightforward. We want to change the zoning in some of our areas like Manchester. We want to make this traditional neighborhood zoning so that people don't have to come again and get rezonings every time they want to build the way this building was done. Go ahead. And so everything should be done like this, windows and doors on the street. Next, not this. These should be an alleyway. Go ahead. If we're going to build a ballpark, this is Camden Yard in Baltimore. Here's the Inner Harbor up here. Camden Yard here, this is the original old structure. And what they did is locked on the ball field and then treated the exterior carefully with appropriately scaled architecture. That is what the developer wants to do. In the bottom, we're going through the details right now, but it'll be really important that for most of the year when there's not a ball game going on, that there's always activity around the edge. So it could be a really good investment for the city. Okay? And we don't want it to look like that. This is an area we want to have redeveloped as a traditional neighborhood area. And this is and we want this for Jackson Ward. This is 2nd Street at Marshall, really important area. But if you look at the next slide, you'll see that this is how it looks today. So the one-way street, there's no street trees to speak of, lousy sidewalk, poor visibility between the building and the public space, and parking surface parking lot. So when you're at the convention center, which is right here, only one block away, why would you come down to this area? But if you see it this way, with the two-way streets, on-street parking, doors and windows on the street for safety and activity and vibrancy, new infill where there was the parking lot, pretty soon you could imagine that visitor down here come walking a block to start shopping in our area rather than getting in their car and leaving. Next. Friday and Choice, pretty straightforward. Go ahead. Basically mixed uses and infill. Next. This is Manchester today, and Robin Miller, who's here, has done a great job with starting to fix up this neighborhood with good infill development that follows the principles I've been talking about. And he's one of those pioneers to go from those areas others aren't always ready to. Now he's selling to younger developers, which is great, because they're getting on the bandwagon and seeing families and young professionals moving back in. Elderly people are staying. Which is great because we want that mixed income and mixed age neighborhood. But look at all the opportunity for infill here. Okay? And that doesn't just have to be one type. It doesn't just have to be single family. It can be apartment houses. It can be shops. It can be churches. It can be schools. So a whole variety of things. But look at all that latent real estate value just waiting to happen. It used to be there, and we can rebuild it. Go ahead. It could look like this if we follow the traditional type of zoning, which we want to create in Manchester. Next. And it doesn't just have to be a two-story. A lot of times people think that higher, taller buildings and denser buildings are bad for neighborhoods. It's a beautiful building in the Fan where it's a retirement home so that people can age in place and stay in that neighborhood that they grew up in or raised their kids in. And as long as it's appropriately detailed and designed, it can be a real asset to a neighborhood. And of course, then you put it in the street trees, and they grow mature one day, pretty soon you've really got a place that's very desirable. And then another infill opportunity, this, as you know, many of you may have come across this bridge tonight. I mean, it's totally designed for cars, it's supposed to be pedestrian friendly, but this in the middle, I call that the dog trap. And, but if you, take one of those lanes, which you don't need for cars, and give that to the pedestrian and the bicyclist, and then you, I really want my Chrysler building. We need something inspiring on our skyline. We've got all these flat, dull, boxy buildings. It's a thing in Richmond. Look at this flat. It's like there's a rule. And so we need that landmark that will say, this is Richmond. We just don't have that yet, but maybe one day. Robin, are you? Come on, man. All right, next. Green, that's a huge deal, next. You can see all the opportunity again for green space, next. Trees, enormously important. They're really a type of architecture when you think about it. The columns, the beams coming across, that cathedral feeling with creating a ceiling within a city in nature. And you can see it here right in our own city. On Malvern Avenue, people, just such a memorable street. I mean, the first time I saw it, I just had to stop for a minute. It was so beautiful. Next. This is not what we mean by street trees. We're really working with developers to make sure we say shade. We mean one day you'll have a full canopy going down that street. So, next. And stormwater runoff doesn't have to be those ugly detention ponds. It can be an asset throughout our city. Every sidewalk should have these little bioretention ponds so it can absorb that stormwater and not put that pressure on the James River, which is really what's stressing it out, and then that goes into the bay, and you know that whole story. So there's little things we can be doing between big shade trees, little bioretention ponds, and then, of course, green roofs. This is the City Hall in Chicago. They are at the forefront of all cities in doing green architecture, particularly green roofs. So. There's opportunity there and there. And then, of course, history. These are all the historic districts, but I think we need more. The area, Monroe Ward, downtown. Next, we recently, obviously we've had some great renovations that got saved. This is the Miller Roads in its heyday. Next, and now it's about to open as a hotel. Hilton Garden should be open in the next month or so. Condominiums and restaurants. So we're very excited about that. So we've seen some really good things going on in our city with developers who are revitalizing our area. But at the same time, next, we've had areas like this. This is on Main Street near Fifth. And this block was beautifully intact when I came and had retail and all the stores, street trees, next. And you can see in here that it was occupied and a fine block, next. But then a developer came, decided he was going to build this big high-rise. It hasn't happened. He doesn't have the money now. So he should never have been allowed to demolish this, took out all the street trees, demolished it, and we were probably going to be looking at that for, who knows, 3, 5, 10 years. We don't know. But it shouldn't be allowed. This should be a historic district. This is a very special block, and it's just enormously wasteful to do that. Of course, the Murphy, Sheila mentioned that. This is a great historic building. And there's no reason this came down. It's totally political, and that's where people and citizens come in. We're trying to work out ways so that the city can have a stronger relationship with the state. It's our city. We want to be able to work with them with state buildings. Next, it got demolished just about a year ago. Enormously wasteful. There's all kinds of data now about the environmental impact on throwing buildings away. Next. And as Sheila said, it's now a lovely parking lot. Next. But it was supposed to be this, which is fine, I suppose, if you like the design, but it's, they never put the money in the budget. So again, we have to make sure that if you're going to demolish something, you need to trade up. I mean, there are many buildings that have been demolished in America, but then you build something even better and finer for your city. That's fine. But it didn't happen. Now with the budget the way it is, we don't see how it can happen. So we're going to be talking to our state reps and others to see if we can form some kind of public-private partnership to get this building, some kind of building on this site, a building that will do it justice. And this is another one they're considering demolishing because they can't figure out how to reuse it for office space. It's just maddening. And so we've got to get with them to bring them good architects, and there are plenty in this town, and good planners who can help them figure that out. And then, of course, we lost some of the MCV campus buildings, but we are talking to VCU, I must say, they have really started to work with us and to listen on ways that we can save that architecture next. And of course, West Hospital being the, I call the queen of Broad Street, and it, we're looking now, they are looking now at trying to save that building, and IMPA's firm is building a new replacement building here for the A.D. Williams behind it, and they're designing it as we speak, so that's good news, because of that whole notion of trading up, we said you need to bring in a really good architect and do it right, so they are, good for them. And Monroe Park, we're hoping to renovate that. We're working on the final design and construction documents this year. We have a master plan for it. 32,000 people all around this park, they should be using it. It should be as crowded as Bryant Park in New York City and other parks in the country. But it's highly underutilized, and we're looking at ways to bring more people in. Activities within the park, cafes, whatnot, cleaning it up, limbing it up so it feels brighter and more inviting. And then finally, affordable housing. A lot of people are concerned that as downtown gets more and more popular and more revitalized, they won't be able to afford to live here. But we believe that we can work through various methods to provide a variety of housing types and the income range. And one of the things we want to do is address public housing. It's been a huge issue. We have about 4,000 units in Richmond. But we think that we can provide a better type and a better model of public housing. We know that we shouldn't concentrate it, and we shouldn't. It shouldn't be a single use. Don't put all the housing just in one place. Have mixed up the incomes and mixed up the uses. So next, this is Gilpin Court, and this is not our answer to affordable housing. These people deserve better. It was very well intentioned when they built it. They thought it was modern and new and clean, and it probably was new and clean then. But it's not working, and what it does is it brings all the value, property values around it down. There are 750 units here. The Housing Authority is now working on a plan to redevelop this area. It's going to take lots of money. I also think that's where this money coming from the federal government could go to rebuild housing. Next. And this is what it does to neighborhoods right around it. Great housing stock, historic, well-built, built in the traditional way that we're talking about, we're recreating now. So let's get these fixed up. Developers would invest if they knew the area around it was safe and people were going to see investing. Go ahead. This is a great example of public housing. It got torn down. Blackwell took it down about, I want to say, 6 years ago, rebuilt it in the, again, the traditional mode where everybody has their own space. It's not the high rises, which don't seem to work too well with public housing. Front porches, on-street parking, no driveways in the front or parking lot. Parking in the rear through alleys, very well done in the traditional Richmond mode. Next. This is a rehab, so it's not just the Housing Authority, it's also nonprofits. This was done by a Better Housing Coalition. They rehabbed this house, and then they did infill here. That was Johanna's design. David's here. Dave, raise your hand. great. I'll put in a pitch for him. David's a great designer. I mean, look at this. Look how well that fits in to that historic neighborhood. And you can't tell if it's, quote, affordable, low-income, middle-income, or high-income, and that's how it should be. Everyone should at least have dignified design in their home. And so this has been a real boost to the Churchill area, and we're seeing it in many neighborhoods. This is the kind of thing that Robin's doing in Manchester, and that others are doing in Highland Park and Carver and whatnot. Go ahead. And if you don't remember any slide, remember this. These are all the vacant properties in our city. And which is a shame. We have about 1,500 of them. We've got the infrastructure in place, the streets, the sidewalks, the schools, the trees, the water, the sewer, the gas. It's enormously wasteful to then have to be replacing that by spreading out further like Sheila was talking about. We should be reinvesting here. We have tax credits, all that. A lot of it is around public housing. And so that's our job to deal with that with the Housing Authority. But there's a real opportunity for us to reinvest in these areas. And as you see, it's closely in the northeast part of the city. Go ahead. So if Richmond looked like this today, my job would be done. And this is how it looked almost 100 years ago. And look at that, packed with people, multimodal, mixed use, traditional neighborhood development, green in the sense of dense development with people walking. And this is what I believe we can get back to. Seeing in city after city, people are coming back to their downtown. You walk in King Street, Charleston now, it looks like this, and it never was before. So I think we can get there, but we really, really need your help. If you believe in what we're talking about here, with getting the riverfront done, buying property, investing and designing it right, and starting those first phases, improving our infrastructure, setting up the new zoning, please contact your council members, the mayor, call me, and I can tell you what, who you should be calling, the planning commissioner. The plan is actually going back to the planning commission. They want to change some things, which we don't necessarily agree with. So you'll be hearing a lot about it. I hope most of you are on our email blast. Are you? Are most of you on? Yeah. Okay, if you're not, I can get your name tonight because you all signed in, and we can add you to it. So we'll tell you when the meetings are, where we are, and in the progress of the next step. But we really want to push this riverfront thing. So if you want to make it happen, we need you. Staff can set up the foundation, but you guys are the ones who gave us the meat and the muscle during the whole charrette process, and we need you to keep going with it. So thank you. Appreciate it.